It's Tuned To Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, True History. Later on, we hear the story of the cure for yellow fever on the Encore Theater. But right now, it's the Cavalcade of America with a tribute to Janet Lord Roper, one of the cornerstones of the Seaman's Friend Society. This episode first aired on NBC on January 15, 1952.
The DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware, makers of better things for better living through chemistry, presents the Cavalcade of America. Tonight's star, Loretta Young. Tonight's story, The Port of Missing Men.
In 1943, the Maritime Commission named a Liberty ship in honor of a woman named Janet Lord Roper. But unless you're of the sea, chances are you've never heard of her. What did she do? Who was she? Well, it all started a long time ago. The place, Calcutta. The year, 1885.
All right, come on, snap it up. Let's go. Line up on deck here. Higgins.
Here.
Landowski.
Here.
Mills. Mills, Robert A.
He ain't aboard, sir.
Jump ship?
I seen him in the alley by that waterfront clip joint last night. Two natives was working him over. Last I seen, they was dragging him off somewhere.
Well, that's his tough luck. Sutton, go to the shipping office. Get a replacement right away. We're shoving off by noon. Next port, Boston.
Excuse me, are you the first mate of this ship?
Hey, what are you doing hanging around here? Boston docks ain't no place for a girl like you.
Well, I'm looking for Bobby Mills. He's a neighbor of mine, and his mother's worried to death.
Mills?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we left him in Calcutta.
You left him?
Look, honey, what's your name?
Janet Lord.
Look, Miss Lord, when it's time to shove off, we shove off.
But maybe something happened. Maybe he was killed.
Maybe.
And if he wasn't, how can he get back to Boston?
That's his problem.
Don't you care?
Look, sister, I got my own problems.
That you, Janet?
Uh-huh. Where have you been? Mom, I stopped in to see Mrs. Mills.
Oh, did she hear from Bobby yet?
His ship came in, but Bobby wasn't on it.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know, Mama. We can't get any information. As far as they're concerned, he's just a name on a list. He could have deserted ship or fallen over the side or died. Mama, nobody cares.
Well, darling, we mustn't let ourselves get too upset.
Mama!
Well, I mean, it isn't as though he were your sweetheart or a member of the family.
Well, he's a member of somebody's family. And you should see Mrs. Mills. Oh, she doesn't know what to do, even.
Oh, you're right, darling. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry.
We never heard from Bobby Mills. He was swallowed by the earth, indifferent. Just another able-bodied seaman easily replaced. But I was young then, and only the young seemed to care. I lived near the docks in Boston, and I used to walk along the waterfront, watching the tall ships in the harbor and wondering about the men who went to sea. I would pass the cafes and saloons and watch the sailors desperately trying to forget their loneliness. And then, down at the end of the pier, I'd stop a while and listen to the singing that came from the Seaman's Friend Society. I'd watch the men through the open window, and I'd wonder what thoughts went through their minds.
For those in peril on the sea.
there's some coffee and donuts in the main lounge. God bless you all.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, you startled me. I didn't see you come in.
Well, I was standing outside the window. I hope you don't mind. I finally got up the courage to see what it looks like inside.
Oh, not at all.
I saw that sign on the bulletin board, the one that calls for volunteers.
Oh?
Well, I volunteer.
Well, aren't you a little young for welfare work?
Well, you don't look very old yourself.
Well, usually we get women much older.
Well, there's nothing on the sign that says you have to be a certain age.
No, I admit that.
Then you'll let me?
Well, it isn't up to me, but I don't think they'd... Well, you see, you're a very pretty girl, and some of these men haven't seen a woman for months.
Well, in that case, I think they deserve to see a pretty one.
Yeah? All right, I'll take you to see the director, if you like.
Oh, thank you. You know, I was watching these men. They all look so lonely and bored. It seems to me the only reason they're here is because they have nothing else to do.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That's one of our biggest problems here.
Oh?
The men either don't come to services at all, or when they do, it's well, just kill time. I can't seem to get their interest.
Well, could I try to help?
Well, frankly, I don't think you could handle them. They're a tough lot.
Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You sound just like everybody else, always looking at the sailor as some sort of dangerous delinquent. Well, I happen to think differently. Why, any man who wants to spend his life on the sea has to have a lot of the little boy in him. And a lot of poetry in his bones, too. Take any man who's ever stood alone on the deck of a ship and seen the spot where the ocean meets the sky. Each of these men, I'm sure, has wondered about God.
How old did you say you are?
Well, I'm old enough to know a sailor's a human being just like anybody else.
Did you tell me your name?
No, I didn't.
Well, mine's Ed Roper.
Oh, Janet Lord.
Lord?
Yes.
Well, no wonder.
Miss Lord, you're coming up for coffee?
Oh, yes, I'll be up.
It sure was a wonderful class today. Oh,
thank you.
Is that Bible stuff for real?
Of course.
Yeah, but that part where you said...
Oh, Janet.
Yes?
Oh, hiya, Mr. Roper.
Hello, Landau. Here. How was class today?
Great. Only she'll never tell us how it turns out till next week. Oh, come on, Miss Lord. I'm shipping out tomorrow. How does the story come out?
If he wants to know, let him read it for himself.
Well, how about it? If I give you the Bible, will you read it?
Oh, I can't never get past the begots and the begats.
Oh.
All right. I'll try. See you later.
That's right.
And it looks like another packed house today.
Uh-huh. Standing room only.
Well, now, you don't have to rub it in. If I had long blonde hair like you have and a pretty little smile, I bet I could attract a crowd, too.
Oh, sour grapes.
Well, maybe I deserve it, but not every Sunday for a whole year.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been a year?
14 months, 3 weeks.
That was a rhetorical question. I didn't know you were keeping score.
Didn't you?
Well, maybe a little.
Let's go out and sit on the pier.
Did you start to say our place?
I wish I could say that without feeling like a schoolboy. It does seem like our place, though.
Yes. Remember the first time we sat out there? After my first class? Oh, I was scared to death.
You didn't act it.
Yeah, but you knew it.
Mm-hmm. I knew it.
And I feel so good about working, I mean. About doing something and feeling useful.
And that's all?
Oh, and about you.
Let's go out, Janet. I can talk to you so much better out there.
Oh, yes, Ed. Let's go.
Listen to those tugs out there.
Ed Roper, you're not going to change the subject again.
Oh, but Janet, it's ridiculous.
I know. That's what my mother said.
Well, you'll never have a real home. No roots.
I know.
And probably no money.
I know.
Well, it's impossible.
Look, will you ask me or not?
Well, Janet, you know I want to, but
Well, I can't.
All right. Then I'll ask you. Ed Roper, I'm a silly little girl who happens to want more out of life than a well-stocked pantry. I don't believe a woman's place is under glass. I want you, Ed. And you want me. Now, come on. Stop being so noble.
But, Janet...
We're not going to have time to be martyrs. We've got a whole life ahead of us. And it's exciting. Isn't it, Ed? Kind of like the sailors. We're starting out on a trip, a long and wonderful voyage together. Oh, together, Ed.
Together.
Oh, darling.
But there'll be a lot of rough weather ahead, Janet.
I know.
God help us.
Oh, God will. He helps all sorts of people. You can count on that.
You can?
Oh, sure. That's God's profession. It doesn't take much to set up a canteen. All you need are four walls and a coffee pot and a man like Ed. We moved along the eastern coast, and when the center of shipping moved west, we moved along with it to Portland, Oregon. Just Ed and I and the coffee pot.
This is Seaman's canteen. I'm looking for Mother Roper.
Mother?
Mother Roper. You know where she is?
Well, I'm Mrs. Roper.
Well, they told me to ask for Mother Roper. They said she'd stake me to a meal in a bunk for the night.
Oh, sure. Sit down.
You Mother Roper? Young woman like you?
Mother? Well, it's a new one on me. Must be getting old, hmm?
Well, look, I'm hungry, so let's get it over with. What prayers and stuff do I have to say?
Prayers?
You know, that church stuff. Let's do it now and we get it over with.
Well, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, I know. I've been in these places before. In order to get a lousy cup of coffee, you've got to get yourself saved or something.
You're pretty tough, aren't you?
I've been around.
What's your name?
Ben. Why?
Look, Ben, we might as well get this settled right now. In the first place, you're not so tough. And even if you were, I'm not impressed. You can act as tough as you like around shipboard or in these skid row dives. But as long as you're in here, relax. You don't scare anybody. Clear?
Now, wait a minute. I ain't that broke. I got to take that kind of stuff from you or from nobody.
You don't have to take anything if you don't want to, but neither do I. You can stay here just as long as you want. You're as welcome as anybody. No angles, no obligations. God doesn't have to bribe you with a meal. If he's going to bribe you, he'll use bigger bait. So just keep quiet, and I'll see what kind of chow I can round up, huh?
Now, look, I come in here...
You keep talking, and I'm liable to be forced to bang you on the head with this coffee pot. Then it'll be too late to pray.
Oh. Hey, you know, you don't talk like no woman I ever seen. Especially no church woman.
If you mean that for a compliment, you're sure going all the way around by China to give it to me.
It's just my way of talking.
Oh.
I'm sure glad to meet you, ma'am.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Ben.
You know, the truth is, I knock off a prayer or two myself when nobody's looking.
Oh, you know something, Ben? So do I. This card from Ben.
Who?
Oh, you remember one of the sailors who came in the canteen last year. That big fella, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, what's he say?
Oh, just hello. Ed, what's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing, dear.
Ed, you've been feeling terrible for months now. Will you go to a doctor or do I have to drag you?
I feel great. Now, please, stop making a noise like a woman.
Ed, do me a favor. Go to bed early tonight. I'll lock up.
Got too much to do.
Look, you won't be able to do anything if you don't start taking care of yourself.
Now, because all these sailors call you mother is no reason to start mothering me. I feel all right. Now, don't talk me into being sick.
Oh, I wouldn't say for sure, but I think you're the most impossible man I've ever seen.
You like impossible men?
Well, this one I do.
See? So what's the argument?
Oh, please, darling, go see a doctor just to shut me up, will you?
When I'm sick, I'll see a doctor. Right now, I'm fine. Now, if you can spare a kiss for your very healthy husband, I... It never fails. The minute I get you alone... Come in.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Mother Roper.
You might as well face it, honey. That looks like your name for life.
Sir?
Oh, pardon me. I was talking to my wife, Mother Roper.
It's just a local joke. I'm Mrs. Roper. Could I help you?
Would you two excuse me?
Yes, of course, sir. I hate to bother you, ma'am, but... Well...
Oh, come here. Sit down. There.
I was trying so hard not to cry.
Well, you go right ahead and cry. Go on, get it out of your system.
It's my son, Tommy.
Yes?
We ain't heard from him in over a year. He used to write me he's seen you, Miss Roper, and you was good to him. And well, I'm worried to death. How can I find him? Maybe something happened. I can't find out nothing.
Now, what's his name?
Tommy Johnson.
Uh-huh.
He's a little fella. Oh, I know you'd remember him if you'd seen him. He's got one of them freckle grins, you know. And he's got red hair and...
Tommy Johnson.
I guess maybe you meet so many fellas.
Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
We're from Texas.
Now, if you just told me that, I'd have remembered right away. Tiny Tex, that's what the fellas called him, huh?
He was always getting joked about that.
Oh.
Miss Roper, you know where he is? I'm worried to death. Can you help me find him?
I'll start asking around, Mrs. Johnson. You know, when I get all my boys out looking for someone, we could find the devil himself.
Clear the decks. I'm a hungry sailor and I'm coming aboard.
Ben.
Mother Roper, the love of my life.
Ben, after all these months, my goodness, it's good to see you.
Oh, and I never mind the flattery. Just close your eyes and open your hands.
Huh? What is it?
Never mind. It's just a little something I happened to pick up in Algiers.
Ben, a necklace. Now, look here. How many times do I have to tell you not to bring me anything?
What could I do? This Algiers fella comes up to me and he says, here, give this to Mother Roper. Now, could I refuse?
Oh, you're a hopeless case. You know that.
Sure. And by the way, do you remember that kid you was looking for, that Tiny Tex?
Yes.
Well, I seen a guy in Shanghai used to sail with him.
Oh?
Says the last time he heard of him, he was aboard the freighter Montauk.
Montauk?
Mm-hmm.
Montauk. Now, who do I know aboard that? Ah, Slim Patterson, that's who, all right. Slim Patterson, you know, he's the first mate on that.
Wait. Now, look, are we going to stand here all day talking about another man, or do I get me a cup of coffee?
Sure, yeah? Ben, sit down, I'll get it for you.
How's them three little girls of yours? I bet they've grown a foot since I last seen them.
Oh, they're just fine.
And Mr. Roper, how's he feeling?
He's fine. He's just fine, Ben.
Mrs. Roper.
How is he, Doctor?
You've got to keep him quiet.
Yes, all right.
Very quiet.
Doctor, is it serious? How long?
He may not get through the night.
Oh.
Mrs. Roper, I'm sorry.
Mother Roper, I'm sorry. I just found out. I hope you don't mind my coming to your house.
It's all right, Ben.
You know, when they told me at the canteen about Mr. Roper... Well, ain't there something I can do? The fellas wanted me to ask you if there was anything at all that we could...
No. No, thanks.
Oh, let it out. You're all the time listening to our troubles. Come on, get it off your chest.
Oh, Ben. Ben... Won't be the same without Ed. Ben, how could God do this? There was a man who spent his whole life working for him. He killed himself with work. How could God take him away? Oh, Ben, why? Why did God do it?
I guess you know God better than me, but if he'd done it, he must have had his reason.
I don't know, Ben. I don't know what those reasons could be. I've spent my whole life loving and working for him, and now I... Oh, Ben, I'm not sure of anything anymore.
I know.
Oh, will you see who that is?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
Miss Roper, you remember me? Mrs. Johnson.
Hello.
I was just wondering if you heard anything about my son.
No, I haven't.
It's been near 8 months since I first asked you about him.
Mrs. Johnson, what do you expect? Miracles? Do you expect me to snap my fingers and make him appear? I don't know where your son is, and what's more, I don't care. I have troubles of my own.
I'm sorry I troubled you, Miss Roper.
Ben, what did I say? Did that come out of me?
You just said you was a human being, that's all. Like all the rest of us.
Oh, Ben. Ben, go after her. Get Mrs. Johnson. Bring her back
yes,
here.
Ma'am.
Oh, dear God, forgive me. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Miss Roper. I didn't know.
I can't apologize enough, Mrs. Johnson, or thank you enough.
Thank me?
Yes, I had to go through it, I guess. We all have to taste a certain amount of humility. Well, what I mean is, God used you as an instrument to show me that I'm a human being like everybody else. Just as many faults and as many good points, and no more. And I want to thank you for making me realize it.
Well, I don't understand.
Well, I was mixed up and I was hurt and I didn't know where to turn. And when I questioned God, he sent me an answer. That's you, Mrs. Johnson.
Me, Miss Roper?
Yes. Yes, you. And we're going to find your son. And lots of sons before I'm through. Oh, I've got to work twice as hard now. Because now I've got to work for Ed. For Ed, too.
And she did. That was Janet Lord Roper's life. Ask anyone down at 25 South Street in New York City, where the Seaman's Church Institute is. Ask any seaman in the union halls, in the boarding houses, in the ports of the world, wherever sailors get together. They'll tell you about Mother Roper and how her life's work reunited over 10,000 sailor men with their families. But if you ask them when Mother Roper died, they'll tell you that although it has been officially noted that she left us during the last war at the age of 74, she hasn't really passed on at all. No, like all good sailors, she had dropped her anchor in snug harbor. And even today, her anchor lights are so bright, they can still be seen by sailors who know how to look for them. They shine from her port of missing men. Our thanks to Loretta Young and the Cavalcade Players for tonight's story, The Port of Missing Men.
The Cavalcade of America, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 15, 1952 on NBC. Shortly after her death in 1943, the three daughters of Janet Lord Roper received a letter from Franklin D. Roosevelt with condolences and commemoration of her work at the Seaman's Friends Society, writing, quote, "Men of the sea from all over the world brought their problems to her in full confidence of sympathetic understanding and practical helpfulness." You're listening to An Hour of True History on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now the story of Yellow Fever, presented by the Encore Theater from June 18, 1946 on CBS. It's the Sidney Howard story, Yellow Jack.
The Shenley Laboratories, producer of Penicillin Shenley and Shenley Pharmaceuticals, presents the Encore Theater. The Encore Theater play tonight, Yellow Jack. Our star is Ronald Coleman. Tonight, Shenley Laboratories presents another in a new series of great dramatic programs. Some of our stories are fact, the struggles and accomplishments of great men of medicine. Others are fiction, stories of devotion to an ideal, individual heroism, or great courage. By these programs, Shenley Laboratories would remind you that medical science and progress is not cold, impersonal research or pages of statistics, but a warm human story told in living terms, whether it's the life of one of medicine's immortals or the simple everyday record of service rendered by your family physician. And now, Ronald Coleman brings you the story of Yellow Jack.
Cuba, late July 1900. The land was rich and mellow. It shimmered radiantly in the hot sunlight. The land was a verdant Eden, gaudy with color, with everything ripe to the tongue and the touch. The land was a thing of gentle hills kneeling around quiet valleys and dense jungles. It was cliffs and bluffs that bent down to see who was coming in the harbors. The land was beaches and banks, and the blue water curled its white toes on the beaches, coveting the land. Water, the transparent aqua home of the eel, the shark, the manatee. Cuba, late July. Paradise and paradox, where the monkey was king of the jungle and the tortoise subject. Where beauty walked in sultry splendor, dripping venom and honey. Cuba, where man was an inconsequential thing measured against a mosquito. Those American doctors and scientists didn't know they were pitting themselves against the mosquito at first, although they had a name for their enemy, and the name was Yellow Jack. Heroes are men from humble towns, with humble names like O'Hara, McClellan, Brinkerhoff, Finley. There's usually nothing to distinguish them. Nothing but that inner fire that manifests itself in the quickness of their hands and the brightness of their eyes. Their names are names like Lazier and Carroll and Agramonte and Reed. And their names are Legion.
Major Reed, there is a message here from General Wood's headquarters.
What is it, Agramonte?
The Army death list brought up to date, sir.
Thank you, Agramonte. I can't stand much more of this. I look out there over the sea and I watch our transport steaming home, and I don't even dare think what they may be carrying home. We've taken Cuba on with this awful thing smoldering in it, waiting for fresh American fuel, waiting for its chance to jump over home to Philadelphia and New Orleans.
It is not an agreeable condition from my point of view either, Doctor. I am Cuban-born.
I didn't mean to offend you, Agramonte, but you and Carol and Lazier and I, we were sent down to stop this horror, to isolate a microbe and find a cure, and we failed. We failed miserably. It isn't easy to admit that.
I know, Doctor. But it is not from lack of trying.
If we could only think of some fresh angle.
Oh, by the way, I ran into one puzzler at Pinar.
I've had enough puzzlers I can't solve.
Ah, yes, enough puzzlers. But this is a funny case. This one is worth listening to. The case of a soldier. Sick 12 July, dead 18 July.
There's nothing so unusual about that.
Oh, but there is. That soldier had not been exposed. He had not been near the disease for over a month before he took sick.
What was that?
There it is. There's the first clue. A soldier, sick July the 12th, dead on the 18th. A soldier who had been in the guardhouse a month before he took sick, and who lay in that guardhouse for 3 days with 8 other prisoners, and not one of them caught it, not even the one who slept in his blankets after he died. There's something to think about. There's a thought worth some contemplation.
How about contaminated food or water, Agramonte?
The whole outfit ate and drank the same.
Well, the other 8 may have been immune. The
records do not show it. One came from Iowa, one from Maine, 2 from Wisconsin.
Hmm. He may have been extra susceptible.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Think hard, Major Reed. Think hard. What was it crawled or jumped or flew through that guardhouse window? Bit that one prisoner and went back where it came from. How does yellow fever spread, Major Reed? How does it go from man to man and village to village and even across the sea? Think. Remember Smith's Texas fever tick? Remember Bruce and the tsetse fly in Africa? Remember that Ross and Grassy have just nailed malaria to a mosquito? Mosquitoes. Think hard, Major Reed. History is holding her breath while you ponder. The mosquito, Agramonte. Wasn't there a Dr. Finley who had a theory about the mosquito in Yellowjack?
Yes, but it was never credited, and he was never able to prove his theories.
Is he still here?
Yes.
Call Dr. Carroll and Dr. Lazier, and let us call on Dr. Finley. How simple a stage is sometimes set for great moments. A Cuban afternoon, hot and breathless, and sleepy. No drama here, no sound of drums or trumpets, no oratory. Only four young doctors walking along a dusty street, but walking the threshold of discovery.
I have the honor, Major Reed, to present my colleague, Dr. Finley. For these many years, a distinguished leader of our profession here in Havana. Dr. Finley, this is Dr. Lazier.
How do you do, sir?
Dr. Carroll.
Yes. How do you do?
Hey, Dr. Finley, we've come to ask of you your knowledge of your yellow fever mosquito.
And a specimen of the mosquito herself. As many specimens as you can spare.
You astound me, gentlemen. For 19 years, science has laughed at me, at the cracked old Finley and his mosquitoes. I have no impulse to share my secret.
No one's laughing now, Dr. Finley. We want to work with you.
You believe in my discovery, Dr. Reed?
Yes, I do believe in it.
Don't you see, Dr. Finley? We're what you've been waiting for. We're going to save your discovery and pull the whole fraternity of science into line.
All we need is one demonstration, and we can prove the whole theory. Proof. Aye, there's the rub. Some truths have to bide their time and wait for the world to catch up with them. This needs courage and ruthlessness. You can't test Finley's mosquitoes without risking life.
You cannot ask me to believe that you'll be allowed to experiment on your soldiers.
No, we'll let the soldiers wait. We'll start this off with ourselves.
You gentlemen?
The four of us.
No, only three. Agramonte's had Yellowjack.
No, you're men of science. Your lives are valuable.
Is any man's life worth more than the cause he risks it on?
Major Reed, all of you, you're brave men. How may I serve you?
Give us the mosquito eggs, Doctor.
When I give them into your hands, I give you 19 years of my life, but I do it gladly.
There it is. There in a bowl before you. You've only to raise the water in that dish, and those eggs will hatch the criminal. Beware of her. She isn't a wild marsh mosquito. She's your domestic pet. She shares your home with you, takes her siesta under your eaves, raises her family in your patio fountain, and rewards your hospitality with death.
Gentlemen, you hold the key to yellow fever in your hands. I pray for your sake and all humanity that you may turn the lock I failed to turn.
Mosquitoes under the searching white light of science. Mosquitoes under microscopes. Discussion, speculation, experimentation.
Look, boys, my orders are to bring mosquitoes in here to the hospital ward to suck a few yellow fever germs out of your blood. Now, you got plenty to spare, so there's nothing for you to get excited about. One little mosquito bite won't make you feel any worse than you do already.
One mosquito bite in the interests of science. Let the mosquito dip his quill in the poison and proceed on his deadly way.
All right, Lazier, roll up your sleeve. There's a little baby in this jar straight from the Yellowjack ward.
Go ahead. Let's get it over with.
There it is. That simply. Death is carried from insect to man. Or is it?
Any temperature, Lazier?
Nope.
Headache?
No, darn discouraging, isn't it?
Yeah. How long since...
Since the last time I was bitten? 6 days.
How discouraging when facts can't keep up with hunches. Three mosquito bites for Dr. Lazier, and no results. The key and the lock are in their hands, but the lock is hard to turn. Nature discloses her secrets reluctantly. Something has been overlooked here.
I can tell you one thing we've forgotten.
Oh, what's that?
It's the same thing Ross was stuck on with malaria. You can fill those mosquitoes full of malaria blood, and they can't hurt a baby for 2 weeks afterwards. They've got to have a good 2 weeks to ripen. We haven't given our skeeters any time.
Hmm. Agramonte, how long has your oldest mosquito had to digest her meal of yellow fever blood?
12 days.
All right, we'll wait two more and try them on Lazier. If that doesn't take, we'll start on Dr. Carroll.
Waiting is hard with the tropic sun beating down and men dying in the yellow fever wards. Waiting is a twisting impatience that writhes in their stomachs while the mosquito drones in the test tube and Dr. Lazier remains well. Doubts begin to fester and spread. Perhaps the mosquito is not the villain. Perhaps, once more, they are on the wrong track. Their minds are small rooms, and they pace them hour after hour, day after day, while the jungle leaves whisper and chuckle in the afternoon breezes, while the monkey chatters and the manatee dozes, and the vines of Cuba twine about the dead.
All right, let's get this over with. What's this mosquito all by yourself, Agrimonte?
That is the one we fed on that boy 2 weeks ago. He had just been brought into the ward.
That case hadn't even begun to develop, Carol.
Let's try her.
I took mine from fatal cases. Why can't you?
A mosquito's a mosquito, and if you don't mind, I'll pick my own. Come on, Black Beauty. Kiss me.
Another period of waiting and watching, while anxiety and worry pinches at their nerves and the bitter tang of failure tastes on their lips. They had been willing to risk death for the victory over Yellow Jack, but now they feel that instead of death, they are fencing with ridicule. Carol, in particular, is beginning to crack under the strain. And even Reed is showing the danger signals of mental anguish and strain.
I have no patience with you, Carol. This morning you performed an autopsy on a man just dead of yellow fever. When you're testing one source of infection, you deliberately expose yourself to another. If you were to become infected, how would you know which source of infection to hold responsible?
How can you expect me to check my real work to test an idea that's already exploded?
You aren't even giving it a chance. You haven't taken your temperature at all these last 4 days.
Why should I? This darn thing has me crazy as it is. That's... even got me all off my feet. I woke up this morning feeling...
Feeling how, Carol?
I don't like the dickens. My head's felt like a dog's breakfast all morning.
Headache? Dizziness? Are you sure it's the effect of nerves, Carol? Remember a lady you called Black Beauty? A lady you dared to laugh at?
Report to the hospital immediately, Carol.
Why? There's nothing wrong with me. All I need is a little quinine and a headache powder.
Take him over, Lazier.
Yes, of course. Come on, Carol.
Oh, a lot of dang nonsense.
I'm frightened, Agrimonte. For the first time, I'm frightened.
What of? That Carol's got Yellow Jack? Or that he hasn't?
Both.
Well, Dr. Finley?
I examined Carol very thoroughly. Whatever doubts you may have had yesterday, there can be no question now. First, I was sorry for him. Then I remembered to thank God.
I'm sorry, but Carol's case is not conclusive evidence.
No, unfortunately, not conclusive. Why did one mosquito succeed with Carol when 50 failed with Lazier? How can anyone be sure that it was the mosquito that infected him? An insect infected from a case only in the second day of disease.
Dr. Reed... suppose this microbe is only in the blood the first few days, before you really know what's wrong with you.
You mean it might change, die after the first few days?
I don't know. But if there is anything in the idea, we've been wasting our time feeding our skeeters on advanced cases. There wouldn't have been any microbes left in them. And that would explain why I couldn't...
I wonder if that could be it.
Ah, it's too easy. Things can't be that simple.
Oh, yes, things can be that simple. The truth is always simple. When you're finally able to discern what is the truth.
If this is the trick, I never ran any risk at all. And I may be as susceptible as any man. I could be the case to confirm Carol.
No, you'd have to be isolated for 2 weeks first.
In 2 weeks, Dr. Carol will be well or dead.
We can't leave him lying there when he's done this. We can't let him die without knowing what he's done. Dear God, give us a chance with this.
Dear God, just a chance. Send them one pure, unsuspecting human guinea pig. One guinea pig to prove that Yellow Jack comes from the mosquito. One guinea pig. One guinea pig. One guinea pig.
One guinea pig.
Lazier, what is it? What's wrong?
It's no use. I can't go on. I'm sick, Reed.
Oh, I don't wonder. You've been at Carol's bedside night and day.
Carol got Yellow Jack from our mosquitoes. I haven't been bitten myself for weeks. But I've got it, too. I've got it, too. You could take all those notes and the ports and all those mosquitoes and burn them. There's nothing in them because I've gone and got Yellow Jack without our mosquito.
Men can't go against death and not risk death themselves. Pasteur sent Tuilier to Alexandria for the cholera. Tuilier didn't come back. Lazier won't last. Humanity asks great sacrifices of its scientists. Write down the name, Jesse Lazier. Engrave it on stone. Honor it. He was a strong man, but not so strong as a mosquito.
Do you want to give up, Dr. Reed? Do you want to go back?
How about you, Carol? You're the one who's been ill.
No. I want to go on. For myself and for Lazier.
Go back? No. The stuff of courage doesn't grow weaker. It grows stronger and brighter. Until it blinds with its light. And the flaming sword cuts through the veil of knowledge.
Understand now, Sergeant. General Wood doesn't want any pressure brought. Just let it leak out. I don't know why any healthy kid should volunteer, but 300's a lot of money to a soldier.
The whispers dart across the night like frightened birds.
$300 compensation for volunteers. They've got a nerve. Volunteers to catch Yellowjack and die of it. Not for me. Not for five times $300. To advance science and benefit humanity. Ain't soldiers humanity?
No pressure. Just let it leak out. There will be volunteers. There must be volunteers.
Did you want something, Private O'Hara?
I've come to volunteer, sir.
The both of us, sir, for the experiment.
You know the risk.
Yes, sir, we know, all right.
You've heard what the compensation is?
Yes, sir, we've heard.
We're volunteering in the interests of science.
And for the benefit of humanity.
And the only condition on which we volunteer...
is that we receive no compensation, sir.
Gentlemen, I thank you.
Did you hear that? They're off, and no one can stop them now. They've got everything they need. Backing, money, isolation camps, and a couple of guys worth remembering.
Well, the conditions are absolutely ideal, Carol. Brinkerhoff and O'Hara will be confined in this tent. There'll be no mosquitoes here that we don't bring with us in test tubes. This is going to be the doggondest experiment there's ever been.
2 weeks for O'Hara and Brinkerhoff to sit in that tent. 2 weeks with only themselves for company and an occasional visit from the doctors. 2 weeks of sleep and food and sterile baths before their strange wedding.
Are you ready, Brinkerhoff and O'Hara?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Will you give me the mosquitoes, Agrimonte?
There'll be no mistakes this time. No chance of error. Reed's going to show them this time that you can't catch Yellowjack in any way but from the mosquito. He's out to prove that Lazier, too, died because of the mosquito. And so he gets two more volunteers... and another tent that he calls the Dirty House.
Is the tent ready?
It's ready, all right. And the Dirty House is a good name for it. It's packed full of every stinking byproduct of this disease.
Two soldiers will sleep in there for 3 weeks. Sleep in the unaired, undisinfected, and unwashed bedding that men have died in. Everything that scientists have ever thought transmitted the disease is in there. Except the mosquito.
I'm hot, O'Hara.
Hot? It's a cold night with a wintry dampness in it, the way you could see your breath if you troubled to blow it.
Hey, you guys over in the Dirty House, how do you feel?
Great. Oh, you in with a little fresh air? Sure hope you guys get Yellowjack.
Oh, you do, do you?
Sure do. Because if you don't, we will. And we don't want to deprive you of the pleasure.
These darn mosquito bites itch.
Oh, quit beefing, Brinkerhoff. Now, what are you doing with that tent flap?
Closing it. I'm cold.
2 minutes ago, the fever was burning you up.
Oh, I got a chill now. My ears is roaring and my teeth is chattering. My head, I feel lousy and I... Hey, John, what's that line you're always saying? Cowards die?
Cowards die many times before their death.
The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems most strange to me that men should fear... seeing that death, the necessary end, will come when it will come.
Will come when it will come. Ah, who's afraid? Hey, John, could I ask you to go down to the ambulance and Tom would come for me.
Riggerhart, you haven't gone and gotten Yellow Jack without me, have you? Why, you...
Could I ask you, O'Hara?
Of course. Ambulance! Ambulance! Ambulance!
Will they never finish their examination, Carol?
You're taking this harder than Reed is.
Oh, I feel for Reed. This is Reed's moment. Everything hangs on whether Brinkerhoff has Yellow Jack and whether Major Gorgas is convinced that he got it from our mosquito.
The doctors bend over the hospital bed. Take note of the symptoms. Observe them well, gentlemen. The eyes jaundiced. The gums bleeding. Headache. Nausea. The boy hasn't omitted a single symptom. Beautiful, beautiful.
Major Reed?
Yes, Major Gorgas?
How long did you say between the bite and the first symptom?
3 days, 9.5 hours.
3 days, 9.5 hours for Reed. Months before that for Carol and Lazier, and 19 years for Dr. Finley. The truth has been conceived and delivered into life. A new baby for science and medicine to rear.
Major Reed, this is an impressive moment. I'm going out after this mosquito. Let me shake your hand, sir.
If that boy's convinced you, Gorgas, that he did get the infection from the mosquito, and if those other two, healthy as ever in the filth of that dirty house, have shown you the disease cannot in nature be contracted except from the mosquito, then you may. But if you have any shadow of reservation on either point,
I have a new case of fever coming in, sir. Dr. Ames just went down to look at him.
A new case?
The silence falls like a chill across the heart. The outstretched hand drops. A newfound world totters on its slender foundations.
The case, it's not from our isolation camp.
Yes, sir. They didn't say who, though. Two of the men went down to carry the stretcher up from the ambulance.
The moments are leaden eternities. The tongue clings like dry cotton to the roof of the mouth. The throat is dry, the hands clammy. The victory that seems so close is trembling into tears.
They could not have caught it in the dirty house.
There hasn't been a mosquito near that pair.
That had wrecked things worse than Lazier's death.
The footsteps approach slowly. The heart races to meet them, but the feet are rooted to the floor. They're afraid to look at the stretcher.
Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
O'Hara, this man doesn't have yellow fever, Dr. Ames.
Yes, he has. I just examined him.
It doesn't make sense. He should have come down 4 days ago.
Well, now I'll tell you. I couldn't bear to let Brinkerhoff get ahead of me. You should have kept those mosquitoes of yours locked up.
O'Hara. O'Hara.
Now science and humanity become one in the person of Johnny O'Hara. And no shadow of gain for him, but his own satisfaction. And only the vanity and glory of that. The job's done. And the doubts and discouragements are memories now. And the mosquito's poison talon will be dealt with and destroyed.
Well, Carol, the last microscope's packed and we've closed the door of the Cuban laboratory. Our dirty house has made a fine bonfire and grass can grow once more where Brinkerhoff and O'Hara pitched the tent. None of the boys are much the worse for wear. And we're going home.
I wish we were taking Lazier home with us. I wish you were coming, Agramonte.
No, Doctor. I am Cuban-born. I must stay in Cuba.
The rig you ordered to take you down to the transport's ready whenever you are, sir.
Good. I'm tired.
A man does what he has to do and is tired. And the rest that follows is a good rest, for he has earned it.
Well, take a last look at Cuba, Carol.
Yes, a last look as the island slips slowly from the ship. A last look at the jungled kingdom of the monkey and the tortoise and the manatee. A last salute to Lazier and the others who died too soon. And a parting gesture to that enemy more dangerous and more deadly than anything sent out of those jungles to defy man. A last look, rich and full with the solemn knowledge of victory and triumph over death.
In a moment, we'll bring back our star, Ronald Coleman. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we leave you with this thought. Shenley Laboratories, maker of penicillin Shenley, presents this program with a reminder that your doctor, in his work of keeping you well, has at his fingertips the whole world of science. The firms whose research scientists continually seek new aids to health are guided by the desire constantly to increase the number of valuable drugs with which your doctor fights disease. Shenley Laboratories is numbered among those firms whose resources of knowledge and skill are at your doctor's command. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Coleman.
To sum up the spirit of this Shenley Laboratories program, this simple and beautiful prayer of the physician, written centuries ago by Maimonides, seems to me to be apt and fitting. The eternal providence has appointed me to watch over the life and death of all thy creatures. May I always see in the patient a fellow creature in pain. Grant me strength and opportunity always to extend domain of my craft. This is the prayer of the physician. It is ages old, yet today it is as new as the hope for a peaceful way of life for all the world. May we invite you to listen again next week at this same time when Shenley Laboratories presents Green Light, starring Robert Young. A great star in a great story. Good night.
Yellow Jack was produced and directed by Bill Lawrence. It was a Gene Holloway adaptation of the play by Sidney Howard. This is Frank Graham speaking for Shenley Laboratories, producer of Penicillin Shenley and Shenley Pharmaceuticals. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Encore Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 18, 1946 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of True History on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.